Once in a Lifetime by Karen Letheline. Marine biologists said it would only happen once. Often a phenomenon swarming of baitfish off Cape Cuvier along the distant West Australian coast. A desolate, rocky place. Few got to observe the strange sights of an oil slick like teeming with millions of anchovies, sardines, or like little fish pushed up underneath cliff bases. Evening news carried footage along with noted experts attempting to theorise why. Long forgotten, when we took our road trip to Carnarvon, planned an escape from Perth's wintry dullness. A chance to let a little sunshine and spend time seeing unique things a 10-hour coach ride away. An outpost far away from the most isolated capital city in the world. Along highways with alien-looking termite mounds, some of them dressed. According to one source, more intelligent mounds wear shirts. Leaving suburbia early, watching dew dry on roadside grasses over multiple cattle grids where coach wheels thundered, through to passing a dark world, only a dotting white line visible beyond bus headlights, arriving 12 hours later. It was a coast touted as where desert and seashore meet. Touristy things, like a visit to plantations fed by endless artisan reserves. Pipes running into sandy expanses of the Carnarvon River. Never a drop of surface water flows visible. Acreage given over to tropical fruits, mangoes, and even experimentation with stone fruits. Produce driven the thousands of miles to Perth markets. Wandering around town strengthened the sensation of having missed the town's heyday as a major export port. Defunct, used for several decades, closed off since the mid-1960s. It's hard to imagine rails running out of 1 mile jetty pushing loads of local harvests to be loaded onto vessels. Yet out of the mangroves, expensive touring yacht masts appear to grow. An alternative method to travel from the big city, factoring in potential collisions with kangaroos on the highway, I still thought the coach was safer. Plenty of shipwrecks along this coast, including one famous for survivors still haunting the Abrolhos Islands. Be sure to bring your bathers, the tour guide said, when we booked our day trip. A chance to take in the famous blowholes, which appear to be a whale plume trapped under sharp rocks. There could be a chance to swim. Hopefully not to become masked tourists shooting skyward in mists of blood and guts. A drive out of town into shimmering salt lakes and blinding yet appearing to be sky blue coloured pools of water. Once when you came closer, only then were my mirages obvious. I remember thinking how dusty, hot and isolated was this flat station land. How could anyone make a living out here? Known for feral camels released by earlier settlers, a location with little else than other than wild goats. While I worked for a meat exporting company, these beasts were caught, halal slaughtered and sent to the Middle East countries or sold for Easter. Little else was alive out here. Until we swiftly pulled to a halt, burnt rubber smells still tangible in furnace-like air as we tumbled out of the truck. It's a horned lizard. A dust-covered creature tried desperately to camouflage itself as a slight road bump, looking like a bonsai dragon with multiple horns upward in all directions. How on earth did our driver see such a tiny reptile? Two Japanese women were babbling and giggling. Soon enough, the creature scampered away and we reloaded. By this stage, longing for the ocean, as we were our evolved life forms returning to cool blue depths. You can swim here. I'll park the truck for 40 minutes, but watch out for the sharks over there. He pointed to a visible dorsal fin that flipped and danced at the northern end of what seemed like a small rocky reef. Swimming with sharks? A surprise day trip inclusion. Shallows, yet beyond white, milk pristine sand, a bit heavy with seaweed drifting shoreward on gentle currents. As much as we craved a cooling dip in the ocean, this water didn't look so inviting. I'm not so keen to go in here with all this weed. Yep, it doesn't look inviting. What about over there? There is at least a bit of sand. We walked out onto water so clear it was barely perceivable. Warm, too. Colour like something touched by various artists. Azure, cobalt, cerulean, turquoise. Words are insignificant descriptions. No waves, as an onshore breeze flattened everything perfectly level. We looked back at yellow, seemingly rust-stained cliffs surrounding this narrow beach, wondering aloud how the coast would change if developers got their hands on those ocean views. Conceding isolation proved beneficial. If all this were closer to population like on the East Coast, it would resort filled by now. I'm so glad Helix there were not daubed with apartment blocks and wealth. As we walked deeper, weed appeared to recede. With head underwater, weed morphed into a giant shoals of fish. As we swam, they parted like shimmering, bejeweled curtains, making openings kindred to ever-changing undersea mazes which rolled towards us. Swam in and fish encapsulated your every move. We couldn't see where these walls of fish began and ended, only that they were alive and moving. Tumbling over, you couldn't perceive a sea floor because swarming masses closed tight behind, above and under, forming a carpet of fish. And all about were finger-length bodies panicking to swim away from humans. I reached out and tried to grab a handful, but all I could catch were a few scales and the sensation of live things slipping out of my hands. Fingers are not made to hold sea creatures tight. A slight haze of oil was the only thing remaining on my fingertips. Half in and out of the water, it's possible to see fish jump just above surfaces trying to escape. As we stood waist-deep water, and in an adjacent ballet of dorsal fins took on a new meaning. The sharks were not bothering with us because an all-you-can-eat buffet was right here. Their open mouths, much more effective than human fingers at scooping up fish. Sharks cut swathes through masses, an aquatic feast trapped below towering shallow cliffs. Off to one side, we were just something forcing their quarry into eager jaws. A solo defense of hiding in the multitude didn't feel effective. Then we could see this black shape, which initially appeared to seaweed, change and shape in an effort to protect itself like a giant single organism rather than millions of individuals. Predators were forcing the shoal into two journeys towards death, even in the shallow shore waters, to be dumped in the high tide flotsam zone into jaws. Small fish swarmed about our legs as if we might be some form of security. This became a point when I understood my own insignificance when faced with a life and death situation. Along with a tumult of sensations to do with appreciating nature, relaxing in my own solitude, and trying to protect myself from life's predators.